You fumble through the channels and choices, looking for something to grab your attention. Your quest is to find something new and exciting. Just as you think you can search no more, you see it. A night of mystical intrigue and hilarious hijinks. From the streamers that brought you the Sunday Night Civ Show comes a new night of action and banter. The D&D Show. Join some of your favorite hosts from the Civilization community as they take the seat at the table of the world's most popular roleplay game, Dungeons & Dragons. The D&D Show airs live on the Civ Show's Twitch channel every Wednesday from 6:30 to 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. It's sure to be a natural 20 of an evening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Civ Show podcast, where we suck so you don't have to. I'm your host, Moisos.
Raising Zozo.
Nystagmus.
It amazes me that no matter how long we've known each other and have played Civilization together in the same game, that the three of us still cannot work together. It blows my mind. You know that?
I don't think it's that we can't work together. It's that we only work together when there's that enlightened self-interest piece. So like, if you're right beside me and you're being attacked and like I can help, and also you dying, like now I have this enemy beside me that's, you know, not Moy, like, yeah, I can help. I'm close. I'll work together with you. But I think if there's an opportunity for apathy, we sort of cling to that and we're nourished by apathy. So when we're in an alliance situation, like all it takes is a little bit of apathy, like say being really far apart, that's all that's needed. And then we'll thrive on that general apathy. You know, that's different though. That's different. That doesn't mean that we can't get along. We just need that there's absolutely no apathy or very low apathy.
I think we're kind of blown up a little bit. We had like, you know, pretty sharp words for each other. We're trying to work together, but we didn't like actively like sabotage each other or anything like that. Like,
no, exactly. We didn't. Now, but like at the same time, like I felt neither of my allies in that game, I felt that neither of them had a sense of urgency. With the conflict that my settler got stolen, that's a huge loss, right? When a settler gets taken, and he deleted it, wasn't a matter, you know, that's, can never forget that. And then before I knew it, he had the Hossers on me. And that's fine. Like when the Hossers came out like that, there's not a lot that we can do. But I felt you guys were not engaging,
so could have been. So to be fair, right, Moy one had both of the other players on his border, like right next to him, right, and I had a whole mountain range between me and you, and then lastly, can't forget, like they offered you peace and then you didn't take it and you kept on attacking them, right? Like
okay, context, let's give some listeners some context here. Okay,
yeah.
So we had last Sunday a 3v3 versus three of your favorite Civilization streamers. We had Peppermint Butler, Van Bradley, and Owls of Dakin. The first time he has ever been on the Civ Show, Owls of Dakin. They played a team that we selected for them, sort of. We selected two Civs each for these three individuals, and they were able to pick one. So Peppermint Butler played Poland, selected by Zoe. Van Bradley played Scotland, selected by yours truly, myself. And Owls of Dakin played Indonesia, selected by Nystagmus. And then I played Egypt. Zoe, you played Russia. Good choice, but
yeah, I was actually okay. So this is what's kind of frustrating about this.
And I was Germany. There was never, I was on a rant. I was Germany.
So okay,
Germany.
Good call.
Yeah, I was Russia, and I was doing very, very well. Okay, I had a pretty big army, much bigger than he did. And ultimately he had this perfect bottleneck that I wasn't able to quite get into. He talked about peace. No actual formal peace was sent, but also during this conflict, his allies were just channeling resources into him. They just kept making gold, sending him gold, making him gold, sending him gold, sending him iron, sending him. So they sent him all the resources that he needed to rush to his hawser and do that.
Now,
my allies at the same time, I got like 5 gold, I think, once.
Did you notice
when? And it was, hold on. Let me finish. And the reason that I was told that I didn't get help while this war was going on from Nystagmus was, well, you didn't ask.
No, I didn't just say that.
Yeah, I remember
it
something.
It was part of it. It was part of it, but that wasn't the whole thing. Yeah,
so,
go ahead.
So here's the thing, right? Like, Peppermint Butler did this thing called know exactly what he needed and then ask for what he needed, right? Like, to expect us to just randomly start throwing stuff at your way without any kind of rhyme or reason or goal, he would say, like, on the stream in front of everybody who can hear with their ears and see with their eyeballs, I need this for this. And then they would give it to him, right?
Yeah, they were talking. Hold on. They were talking to each other. There was a communication back and forth. We were not talking to each other. Nobody was taking the lead. Nobody was trying to help. I was at war. I was focused on the war.
You guys were all at war, but
you were playing SimCity. You weren't building armies to send at you. Moi yourself, you just said, I have two bad guys on my door. I had two enemies on my door. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you mobilize and attack them? Nobody was doing that.
Okay. Is it my turn?
I was on my
turn.
Yeah, you sure?
You can breathe? No. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I went into Owl's territory. Newsflash, Zoe. I was there. I pillaged his things. I pillaged his mines. I pillaged his commercial hubs. I pillaged his whatever the heck was there. And then it took me a while to get there, I will admit, because I went like the long way around because there is a city state I couldn't get through because you are Sue's of it and I can't walk through your Sue's city state, which is stupid as heck, but I had to go around. So I went around. I went with my special unit too. What was it? The Chariot Archer, right? So those are pretty out-teched pretty quickly. I mean, they're a classical era unit.
When you had those, I thought you Sue's like a city state, and that's why you were using those.
No, they were mine.
Like I thought you like levied a city state, and that's why that happened.
So I went around. I went around with my Chariot Archers, and then I started pillaging things, and then they got out-teched, and I had to get out. And actually, Then we had peace. So it took me a while to get there. Like I said, it took me a while. I pillaged things and then Van Bradley offered you peace. And then I got kicked out and then they're out teched and then I couldn't do anything. But you can't say I didn't do my part. I gave you money when you needed money. I gave you money.
I remember, I went over the owls. Well, obviously, like, first of all, none of us were leader there. Peppermint Butler assumed a leadership role and he said, guys, direct me funds, guys. He was saying, and throughout the game, he kept asking them, guys, and he was planning. And this was like, because we have no experience with this stuff. He was planning things like, we need to direct funds to one person to get a scout, you know, to make sure that they got their 60 gold quickly.
When the war started though, and like the front line was being battered on your front line, would it be fair that the expectation would be that you would assume somewhat of a role like that and let us know what you needed as opposed to expecting us to kind of intuitively know that?
I was doing okay. The issue was that the nature of our banter wasn't cooperation. And it was fine. Like, I was having fun and I was having laughs. Hey,
just to be fair, like, I actually established a pretty fine record when I'm on teams of when I'm asked for things, I give them like all the time. And I'm actually pretty good at like stockpiling resources that my ally needs, as long as I know what stockpile of resource is required of me.
It felt in general though that, like, I don't know what you were doing. Like, were you engaging somebody near you?
I was near nobody. There was a mountain range across my western front.
So it happened. That's probably why there was so much apathy. You're just completely segregated. You had your own continent with a shielded mountain range that protected you from the rest of the world.
There's a difference between apathy. Like, it's like saying, oh, like, I'm going to go and like put my robot on Mars. And why didn't you help my robot? Well, I can't get to your robot. So what do you want me to do?
Yeah, right? You, like, can't get there. There's nothing you can do. Like, and there was no enemies beside you. You started kind of in a void. There were no way that you could have built armies to attack.
Like, as far as I know, there's no teleporting in Civ. I can't go from city to city. But
you're saying that the mountain range completely surrounded you and there was no enemy state nearby that you could have attacked, right?
No, there wasn't actually. There actually, okay, I actually did not have a war.
Sorry. With so the, once again, Germany gets screwed, and they put in, they're basically in a position where they're not in the game. They might as well be on the moon, right? Because they've got this shield of mountain around them, and they're far away from all other nations. So yeah,
Moy was literally the closest. Moy was the closest
person, and he was far, and he was so far from me. I was alone. I guess in the end, we each had our own little continents, and it just sucked that I had Peppermint Butler to the north.
It was crazy though how like the three of them spawned right next to each other. No, but they spawned right next to each other, and all three of us spawned as far away as humanly possible.
Yeah, that didn't help.
Like what?
That didn't help either.
If we were like aggressive, and maybe we could have like enclosed on them. But yeah, you're right, because like Nystagmus had this mountain range between in the middle. Yeah, when the death came, it was sudden. It was. I didn't realize how fast he could get his hawsers. I didn't realize that they came so early. And then all of his units were hawsers. He just went like all of them, like just boop. Because of their pooling.
He had Grandmaster's Chapel, so he started faith buying all of his units. He had so much faith and just was.
So my favorite part of the game was when we made him buy one Piken shot, and we found out the Piken shot's like good.
Doesn't matter.
It's actually kind of good.
Well, when I
I think my exact words were, "Hey, do you have pike?" We were like, "Do you have pike and shot?" You're like, "Yes, you do." I'm like, "We don't see any pike and shot." Well, I can build them. Like, no, we don't mean in theory. Do you have pike and shot?
I got caught like red-handed.
I don't need your fancy book learning of pike and shot. We need your practical pike and shot.
So yeah,
They're pretty good.
I did not. It's like I remembered rushing them. I do remember going for them, and then I didn't upgrade. I was overwhelmed, guys. It was everywhere. Like it was just suddenly he was everywhere, and I felt good. I was like, oh god, I got him on the run, and then he very quickly started pushing me back.
Your first mistake was picking a fight with Peppermint Butler. Yes. Like that was.
Agreed. I did not pick a fight with him. He deleted my settler.
How did he take your settler? Can we start there?
He took my settler because Civ responds to the faster computer. And I didn't realize that chariots he had enough because he was by the river. There was two movement and a mountain or a hill rather. And I didn't think that he could complete the movement, but he did. He was able to complete it. So obviously I miscalculated.
Can I just say something? So I remember back in Wade, and this is not a nail against you, right? I'm just trying to this is how I interpreted this back in the day when you guys used to make fun of me for never guarding my settlers, okay?
That was exactly the joke that was going on, Nystagmus, at that time. Right?
Do you know what I literally do now because of that, you guys badgering me about that? Is my settler never leaves my territory without it being linked, like physically linked to at least a slinger, like some sort of military unit, right? So I actually hard link them.
I misclicked my archer. I had an archer, but the archer was coming from a different angle to join it. So I misclicked my archer. I had one movement left for it, but it had already been moved to a hill. So I was like, great. So I had no way to protect it. And then I don't think I saw his chariot. And then I moved. And I was like, oh shit, you have a chariot there. Anyways, it was devastating because I had just literally sent in Nystagmus some snide comment about, yeah, guys, you gotta fine. You gotta make sure you protect your settlers.
I voiced my concern about, because you went into a golden age and then you faith bought like a bunch of settlers. That I can only imagine that's what you did because they just appeared, right?
Because
I was looking at you very carefully because I was getting kind of worried that you only had one city for a really long time. Because Russia should expand, right? Just expand. Yeah. And I saw them all and I was like, dude, you're moving all your settlers out. You always made fun of me for not guarding your settlers. And you're like, they are guarded, man. You got a settler stolen from you.
and then I immediately got, and it was like, yeah, my face was definitely red. And I was like, okay, like when I notice.
Don't you notice, Stagmas? I'm playing 7D chess. I have units around them. They're guarding them in their pathway.
When I noticed, I went to my archer and I just started clicking, 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 clicking. I was like, no, this can't happen. Well, I got nothing more to say on it. We should move on.
So taking from your reaction about that whole settler thing, because I remember a game when I played Persia and you took my settler, right? That's how this whole thing started. So in your mind, Peppermint Butler wouldn't have gone too far if he didn't delete the settler.
Yeah, if he had not deleted the settler,
that I was the line in the sand that he crossed. That not the fact he took it. You would have done it yourself.
I would have done it myself. You're absolutely right. I would have done it myself in a heartbeat.
Now, what if he didn't delete it in front of you? What if he took it away somewhere and then deleted it?
I think he did technically, because like I was hunting this thing down. Like I was, and I had another unit coming in. I had a scout coming in from the other side, and I was hunting this guy down, and I was waiting for him to settle. I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure I could. And then I was like, where the hell did it go? Where did it? You deleted it?
I think he admitted it too, right? I think he said he had to.
I was like, wait, you can't, you're not going to, it's a settler. You can't delete a settler. It's a settler. You got to get it back to your empire or build a city. And he didn't do either. He just deleted it. And because he had a warrior that, like, I think he was trying to get to defend it, but I killed that warrior. I was so taken back by this atrocity that I was like, no, there are settlers. Of course you take a settler. You can get a settler. You steal a settler. Deleting a settler? No, that is an unforgivable offense.
I'm curious where the line gets drawn. So is it any civilian unit or is it just settlers? So like if I took a worker and then I deleted the worker, would that be okay?
I'd be upset that you wasted a resource, but I'd understand. You didn't want it to fall into my hands. I get that. With the city, if you had built the city, at least it would have been interesting. Like, yeah, I would have taken it likely in the end, but what a struggle. And maybe he could have gotten enough reinforcements there. This is Peppermint Butler after all. And he probably instantly built walls because he is saving envoys to get Valletta right away, you know. It is Peppermint Butler we're talking about.
Yes, you're right.
So that would have been fair. That would have been fair. I was taken away. They murdered my citizens. And the question for me became like, how do you explain that? So you go in, you take control of a group of settlers. There's nobody around. There's no warrior or something to enforce. It's just you've gone, you've taken over. You're now part of my empire. Okay.
All right.
How do you issue that order of delete? Okay. Go into that river, you know, like die. I guess it would be that he disbands them.
I think of it as like an execution, you know, it's like, all right, we don't trust you guys anymore. We think you're going to go back to your old empire. We're just going to throw you down on the ground. Just chop your head off. That's how I view it.
Maybe. I just think, it's, you know,
dark.
Why would they resist? Why would they resist?
Dude, this is like, what, the classical ages? Come on. People got beheaded every other day. Public feelings.
Now, what would happen if he disbanded the settler and then you just got your population back in the city that the settler came back from? Like, they wandered back home somehow.
Yeah, that'd be fine. You delete it and plus one population somewhere. But it's just, I guess it's just like, because the nature of Civ is, you know, there's actually something there generally doing it. And for a civilian unit, I get it if it's yours, they're loyal to you. It's like, yeah, this is, don't worry, I know best. But it's like, literally, it's like, no, you're our enemy. Oh, we're now on your team. Okay. Now I want you to drown yourselves.
So
I don't know. Is the moral I'm overthinking this, it, obvious.
So is the moral of the story that maybe like if we're on a team at some point in the future, maybe kind of sort of that we talk like because I don't know. I think it was kind of quiet. We were just kind of doing our own thing. And then you're like, oh, Pembroke Butler's like kicking the crap out of me. Okay.
Well, we're
like.
We were talking about other things and we were engaging with, you know, those were all very entertaining casters that we were, you know, talking to, Van Bradley and Peppermint Butler.
And owls. Come on.
And owls. I know. And owls. Yeah. Owls. Sorry. And owls.
Maybe I do think there's one thing that maybe we should institute for a game like that. I just thought of it because Owl's start like truly was like, it was awful.
Really
like, it was
really
so bad. Like, I felt bad for him just a little bit. I was just like, oh, his start is so horrible. I feel kind of bad that we're like we don't like save scum games basically.
But he was also making 500 gold a turn at the end of the game. So he figured it out, right? He took owls, he got harbors and commercial hubs, and he was funding his team. So he still had a role. He played his role.
He did feel I can feel the demoralization in his voice though when he saw your chariot archers like just show up at his borders.
I pillaged like maybe like, three things, and then the
piece he was like, "Oh, come on, boy, are you really doing that?"
I had to do something. I can't.
No, like you're like, and it's the problem with online speed. Like you have to do that right away, right? Because you're gonna lose that advantage. Chariot archers are only there for like two eras tops. Right. So you've got to use them right away. And like for me, I was like, I got it right. We're on shuffle too. That didn't help. Yeah. And we were at least talking about our shuffle. We were talking about our shuffle. We were saying, you know, we were trying to be a bit secretive about.
Hey, I told you where currency was.
Yeah, we were definitely working together there. But yeah, like I would have needed Cossacks to stop him, or you know, build those pikemen shots that that were actually really effective.
You mean the anti-cavalry unit?
From the industrial era designed specifically to deal.
My other favorite moment of that game was when Moy was like, "Zo, I'd like you to explain your preserve." That's like next to a mine.
Next to a mine, next to two districts.
It was the worst. It's because I just looked at the appeal lens and I didn't type in breathtaking. And I thought that I'd saw a bunch of breathtaking tiles and it turned out they were all like charming. So the preserve ended up doing like adding an extra faith, I think. Like it was
one food,
so,
one faith. Yeah.
Oh, it was so embarrassing and it sucked. And that was, it was like, I had a brilliant start. I had like Mount Killing.
Yeah, you had a god tier start. Yeah.
Right. Like right beside me. Oh my God. And then I was like, oh man, these are all breathtaking. This preserve is going to be amazing. It's going to give me all this. And then I build it. And I'm like, oh my God, these are breathtaking. These are charming. Wait,
the only other thing that would have made that better is if you built the preserve and then you built mines around it. That would have been like,
well, like ultimately I stopped caring and I, yeah, it was, you know, but like, it's like little mistakes like that though can cost you because that, you know, that snowball, Russia has limited population.
Yeah. That's why I tried to play Egypt with you. I was trying to make trade routes with you, but you ended up being on the opposite side of the world. I didn't account for that for whatever.
Yeah, we kind of planned that that we're probably not going to be beside each other in the future. Yeah, and then we'll have to fight. Yeah. We'll have to fight to meet.
I think Civ does that. Sometimes like it's like they never put you near your ally or they just put your ally so like bloody close to you that makes like no sense. Like I've in the game where I was on Bosa's team. Like I could see his settler in the first turn.
That like, was different because we did like a setting for with BBS. I think
east, it
was like
east versus west.
Right.
Yeah.
So like that's it adjusts the spawns. Right. Whereas we've right now played vanilla essentially.
Essentially. Yeah.
And so like still, it just does like, your spawn. It doesn't account. Yeah,
that
to
was
your
a
teammate.
Stupid spawn. It was so stupid. It was like we're like 6 tiles away from each other. It was dumb. I think it just ended up being too far away. And it, even when like things were going down, it was just hard for all of us to kind of focus on anybody. Mm-hmm. Like literally, I swear, if I sent units your way, they would have been like, you would have been like in the industrial era, like with guns and my guys with swords show up. Hey, we're finally here to help. And then because of the way the multiplayer works in Civ, I can't even upgrade them when they get to your territory. So
yeah. You can upgrade in ally territory. So if you have open border and they're your ally, you can upgrade in friendly territory.
It's true. So once you get civil service, then you can do it. Yeah.
And we weren't being super diligent about our alliances, but that's because, and this is actually kind of a criticism of alliances, that they're just so dependent on trade routes, right? Like there should be more options.
The whole thing is around a trade routes, right?
Well, unless military alliance is the only one that doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, but even that upgrades only through trade routes, right?
Yeah, yes, of course. It only gets bigger, but at least the baseline of the +5, I think it is, if you're both at war with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, the like alliances are super weak. I don't know. I especially if there's no way to trade at all. Like if you're that far away. I don't know. A little too much dependent on trade. Alliances should be more than money.
We'll try to communicate better then, I guess, in the next
game. We can communicate better.
What again? What are we doing next week?
So this week we have, it's our community bonanza. We're doing a community game. We're going to do, we have three community members joining us. And we were just discussing earlier whether we do like a 3v3 or a 2v2v2. And ultimately, like, we'll just, as we even discuss it, we'd probably just go to them and say, what do you guys want to do? But either way, looking forward to it.
I can tell you what we're doing. It was submitted. This was a submitted by Ninthance, a king patron level member. So he was able to submit a game. And so I reached out to him. I'm like, hey, we're having a community game on Sunday. Do you want to submit a game idea? And he's going to also play in the game on Sunday, him, Niall, and we need one more person. So if you're interested, let us know. If you're a patron member, we'll try to get you in there as well. So he wants to do a 2v2v2 with no peace allowed.
It's called the Forever War. Yeah,
the Forever War.
The winning team is the one who controls the most non-founded cities by game end, which includes city-states. If you take over a city-state, that counts as one.
All right. That's awesome. Other than that,
no restrictions on civs. Map type, he wants it to be nice and open. He suggested seven seas, but it's not set in stone, so you can make your case. And yeah, that's going to be on Sunday. So we have Ninthant, we have Niall Matotal, and we need one more person. So if you're interested and you're listening to this, let us know.
But we'll give priority if you are a Patreon subscriber, obviously, you know. But this is a perk, guys. So, you know, check out our Patreon if you want to submit games and possibly play with the Civ Show hosts. You know, join the Patreon. That's some of our perks is on there for this exact situation. So, yeah, this is going to be cool. Now, did he mention drafting of how we're going to do the drafting for the Civs?
No, did not.
I think it's pretty open.
Okay. So maybe we'll talk to him, but maybe he'd be open for a Zozo drafting situation where we'll ban some and choose some and what have you. Sounds like military is going to be the way to go.
Yeah.
When especially where we're just always at war. Isn't that it used to be an option, always at war?
No, but I do think we should ban Macedon just because they have that no war weariness, and that's just like a huge advantage. That's just not fair, right? I think there's automatically, if we're not going to do bans, just ban them, and then I'm good with anyone else. You can be anyone else.
Does any other civ have war weariness?
Gondi has, like, you accumulate double if you're at war with them.
So we can ban Gondi and
them as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Done. Okay.
Easy.
You know what I'm going to suggest to them? That we just throw all the military leaders together in a leadership pool and we'll just it's leadership pool.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Everybody submit one leader you're not necessarily going to play them, but submit a leader and then we draw numbers on and you draft from that pool.
That?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like you can even, there is the leader pool option, right? Where we could just say that these are the six leaders that are in this pool and we're all choosing leadership pool, right?
And when I start the game, we could just put it in that leader pool and we can all make it just random.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And then Astagnus has everything he needs ahead of time, which will, we might see an end to the game. Okay. So then I guess we just would need to know, who's on what team, but we'll draft that live or do we want to know ahead of time? If we want, we could do it right now. We could draw straws or I could do a card up, but basically we'd each be grabbing one of these guys, one of our, these community members to be on our teams.
Sure.
Is that what we want to do?
Yeah. Let's just do it right now. Yeah. Let's wrap up with that. Sure.
Okay. So who do we got here?
We have Ninthant, N-I-N.
Oh, wait.
Ninthant. Okay.
Yeah. Spelled like it's pronounced N-I-N-T-H-A-N-T-E. Or no E, sorry, A-N-T.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
Yep. And then Niall, just put N-I-L-E.
Niall, okay.
And question mark, question mark, question mark.
I love question mark, question mark, question mark. Okay.
Went to a party with them once. They're wild. Oh, man.
Whew. It could be anybody. It could even be a boat. You
know what they were doing half the night.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. All right, so I'm going to give these a shuffle And what do we want? Give someone in the chat to do the cut?
Whoever says the first number, let's just pick a number between 1 and 5. And is cool. 4. Okay. Red cape says 4. A red cape.
4. Sorry. Okay. So somebody, first person to shout it out, either say Zoe, Moy, or Nystagmus. This is who we're doing first. First one I see. Moy, Zoe, or Nystagmus. Someone
you're
type it out.
You're doing way more than 4. I don't know what you're doing there.
I'm just shuffling right now.
Oh, then you're going to do 4.
Yeah. There you go. Moy, Iron Guy. So Moy, I'm going to cut for 4. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
So 1, mm-hmm. 2, oops, 2, 3, 4, flip. There you go, my friend. You are
Nithant. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I'll talk to him. Yeah.
All right. Number 2. This will be who? Nystagmus or Zoe? Nystagmus or Zoe? Well, okay, so here's a number between 1 and 5.
Oh my god, just like 3, dude. I'm picking this 3.
1, 2, 3. Question mark. I get whoever joins us, leaving Nystagmus with Niall.
Man, I already know who Niall wants in this game. I kind of wish I was partnered with Niall, but then at the same time, since it's a pool, it doesn't matter. But Niall's probably gonna put Shaka in the pool. I'll let you guys know now. He's gonna put Shaka in there. So be ready for Zulu and the Impies. Like,
if it's all war all the time, why wouldn't someone choose Shaka?
Even if it wasn't all war all the time, he'd still pick Shaka. It's his favorite Civ, so that's why I know that.
Shaka's got a good guy. He's good.
He's one of the few. Him, Gandhi, and I think Alexander the Great have been in every single civilization since Civ 1. I think that's right.
Yeah.
Maybe one more, but not Cleopatra.
You, you said it. You said it, and you're on the internet, and
yeah, you know, that means that's
got to be true.
If you're whether you're wrong or you're right, it's true.
You think someone would do that? Just go on the internet and tell lies?
I've never lied once in my life, Nystagmus. Not once. Not a single time. I always tell the truth. And that's not a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, did you guys tune in, by the way? It's a little unscripted here. To my Good Morning Amenities on Tuesday?
No, I did not.
I did not.
No.
I used a America's map. It was like a mod map, but there's nothing else about it other than just being like North and South America. And I really liked it. I think it's something I'd like to see us do. It's like a true start. And the way that the person did it, they made North and South America horizontal so that it would fit across. And it really, the map was fun to use and you sort of knew what was going on, but like, you know, the shape of the continent worked a lot better. And like, really, why not? You know, what's the difference? It's just our the way that our brains work.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't really matter, right?
Like,
yeah. Yeah,
doesn't matter, right?
Just turn your head like this, it'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. And it was good. I really enjoyed it. So I think, and the true start nature of it, like the selection of civs was pretty good. I turned off all it had European starts. Like, so it did have like, if you were France, you would start as New France, basically. And
Quebec.
You'd start in Quebec. Interesting. Or if you were the Dutch, you would start in New Amsterdam. So it had like, you know, the Spanish stuff that were there. And it was wherever, I guess, they first colonized their first major establishment. I turned those off, but like we could have them on. Anyways, I don't know. It was a lot of fun. I'm going to finish the game on Tuesday. But yeah, if you want to take a look at it, it's one of those not another true maps or something like that.
Not another map pack.
The Americas. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. So hopefully we'll check it out sometime on the show in the future.
Well, if we got nothing else, then Zoe, why don't you go ahead and wrap us up here?
Let's wrap it up. So that's it for this week. You guys, check us out. We got a new show on Wednesdays, the D&D show. So check that out. But otherwise, give us a subscribe or follow here. Check out our stuff on YouTube, on Discord. Join us. And of course, just see you on Sunday. This is going to be a fun game. Love our community games. You won't hear the community guys, but they will be there. They can chat and talk to you. And it's going to be an awesome game. Always fun, the community game. So join us for some Battle Royale Murder Storm, whatever it was called.
The Forever War.
The Forever War. I like mine.
Infinity War. Infinity War. How about that?
Infinity War.
Is that easy? Yeah, Marvel movie title. Yeah.
Yeah, I can wear my Thanos glove.
Oh, yes, I'll find some inevitable component as well, and you guys can just listen to me in the segments. Yeah, define inevitable. It'll be a show worth watching.
We'll see you guys on Sunday for the community game and the Infinity War. Bye.
Woo!